Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.
This podcast is brought to you by our original I Am a Sewing Machine t-shirt. If you want to support Sewing Out Loud and tell the world that you are a sewing machine, go to sewhere.com/IAMASewingMachine and use code MACHINE to get 10% off your t-shirt.
Welcome to Sewing Out Loud, the official podcast of ZD Sewing Studio. Here are your hosts, ZD and Mallory.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Mallory Donahue.
And I'm ZD Donahue.
And we're going to just do a little feel free to compliment me about me.
Imagine that coming up.
I know. Well, you know, I didn't call the Ariel episode, your Ariel costume, like a feel free to compliment me
No,
episode.
I noticed that.
I can't. I guess I can go back and change it.
Leave it alone.
In case you didn't know that you were supposed to feel, you were getting so much love in that Facebook group. Our Facebook group, when we were posting about your aerial stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, our best performing Instagram post ever was when you came down in your unfinished costume in your moccasins.
Yeah, I know.
No, I've never got, with like 700 likes.
Really?
On Instagram.
So I need to wear more moccasins and sequins together.
I don't know if I posted it. You know, it was like the perfect combination of like you
and
the
time of day.
And the time of day. Yeah, the time of day posting time. I don't know what happened. It was like our best performing Instagram post. So it was magical. So anyway, I'm just saying, I think you've been complimented. Now, I've been complimented on this too, because I posted all about this as this was going on.
You posted about your stuff?
Yes.
Mallory posted about her stuff.
Yep.
Yeah, uh-huh.
So, Mom was shopping for her Ariel fabric, and we mentioned this last time.
Actually, I was not. I was just shopping.
You were just shopping? Yes. Oh, okay. For shiny stuff.
I can't remember. Oh. Actually, I went in to get, you know, I just thought of something we didn't talk about.
Uh-oh.
Didn't talk about the built-in bra in my costume.
Oh, well.
Anyway, I went in to get bra cups
I
never used. I bought them, and I bought a whole bunch of other stuff, but I never even used the bra cups.
Did you, like, butcher another bra?
I butchered a bra.
Butchered a bra, okay.
I butchered a bra.
Bra butchering is a good episode.
Bra butchering is, like, the best.
That should be
bra butchering.
Whole thing. Okay.
I feel bad, though, that when all these people are making these bras, and then I'm butchering bras. I don't ever get rid of bras.
It's like one or the other, I feel like. I feel like we're making, you know, we're like.
You're making it or
making
you're
it,
checking
or you're like
it or pillaging
cutting
it.
Cutting it up. Yeah. What? Yes. I'm going to buy this bra and cut the crap out of it and cover it in fabric.
Actually, it was one of Hillary's bras that I butchered. And it wasn't quite my size. So
yeah.
I knew that I could, like, push the boobs together a little bit more. And I was taking the back off. So it worked out.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about this outfit that I made myself. I wore it to a few things over the weekend, but one of them was your aerial performance because I was the MC.
Right.
Okay, and so the theme was winter, and when you had been shopping and you showed me this fabric, it was that mesh with the sequins sewn to it, and I said, oh, is it four-way stretch? And you said yes. And I was like, oh my God, I want to make tights out of it. Mm-hmm. I want to make myself sparkly tights because I've been so inspired by Like, a lot of the stuff I see in the Lingerie Addicts group, and they'll have a lot of, like, sparkly socks and things like that. And I was like, if it's four-way stretch, I can make tights. I can make footed tights, and it can be so much fun. And so I just want to make sure it was stretchy enough, because I have tried to make – I tried to make tights one time out of a stretch lace, and it had a bit of give vertically. But
well, you have to be careful about –
laces hard.
Laces and knits.
Yes.
People will think, oh, here's this great vertical stretch, and then they'll go and they'll check the horizontal stretch, and it will give a little.
Yeah.
Well, everything gives a little.
Right.
And, you know, it doesn't mean it's really a stretch.
Well, this one
and lace is really deceiving.
Yeah, it had a horizontal stretch and a vertical stretch, whatever, however I cut it out. And it kind of worked, but they were restrictive, and I was like, this isn't good. So anyway, I was so excited that you told me that was like actually, you know,
when you're making
stretch.
Something to be a second layer of skin, it's got to have a lot of give. Yeah.
So I was super excited. I want to make tights. I had redrafted my leggings pattern. You know, weight shifting or, you know, whatever. I hadn't redrafted in a long time and what I was wearing.
But you had made a successful pair of tights out of mesh.
Yes. Absolutely. No, I'd made other successful pairs of tights. They just weren't exciting. they weren't as exciting as these were going to be. So I was excited to make an exciting pair of tights. And anyway, so I redrafted my leggings pattern, and I'm like, okay, well, I'll just, you know, go ahead and put my foot on these and cut them out. I want the seam to go up the back like a pair of tights and everything. And I'm cutting these out. Well, and you'd bought the fabric, and you were going to use some for your Ariel costume, okay, the blue.
I think I already had.
But before we cut it, you'd said, oh, are you going to have enough for your tights? And I held up my leggings pattern. I said, yeah, look how short my legs are. Okay. And I knew that I didn't want the sequins to go all the way up, like, on my butt and in the crotch area.
And that's something that everybody needs to take note of here. This is a good ZD note. Think when you're using a fabric, any sort of fabric that is not a nice, smooth fabric, if it's got a sequin on it or some sort of embellishment, think about how you're going to sit in it and how it's going to feel and what it's going to do.
Okay, but I want to cut. We'll kind of get to that, too.
Yeah.
Okay, so anyway, you were done with your Ariel costume, I believe.
No, I didn't need any more. I used, like... Four inches.
You didn't use any at all. And we were just like, it's fine. And that's not really the crux of the issue here.
But I don't even think I used a half a yard on my Ariel costume.
So what I cut out of this fabric was really just like from the thigh down, or like not even mid-thigh, because I don't have enough thigh to like do things at mid-thigh, you know, right below the crotch seam of the leggings. And I cut it out and I sewed up the back seam of the leg, so like they'd be thigh highs at this point, sort of. And I tried it on and I thought, why are these so short? Oh, it's gonna be okay. Maybe when I get the foot on, I get the other stuff and they'll kind of stretch a little bit, which is stupid because our leggings don't have a bunch of negative ease that way. It's meant to actually fit your leg and not rely on negative ease, which is a good thing, right?
Right.
So I actually do cut out the shorts, like the top part of the tights, the leggings, and I construct all of this. So I have a pair of, there's no bottom of the foot in them yet. And I try them on again and they're like 5 inches too short. You know, it's coming up like to mid calf where like it should go to my heel. And I'm like, what is going on? And I remeasure my pattern and I do not know what I was on. I don't know. Maybe you'd been spraying a bunch of glue up here.
I don't know. I want everyone to know that we don't really know what happened. But I know it was my fault.
No, it wasn't your fault, because I want to make it very clear that ZD shows you the proper way to measure your freaking leg by yourself in the made-to-measure leggings class.
Right.
And I remeasured, and it was wrong. Okay. It was so wrong. And ZD's got a great tip, so I just want to say...
Okay, yes, I have a footnote here. Ha,
well,
ha, ha.
Yeah, ha, ha. I just want to say, I drafted the pattern, and somehow... I don't know.
Left out 5 inches.
I wonder if it was when I was going from like sort of hip to knee to ankle.
Did you flip your measuring tool or something?
Yes. Something like that. Left out 5 inches.
One time Mallory measured my bust, and between my upper bust and my, bust measurement. She got a difference of 22 inches or something. I said, I don't think that's right.
I can neither confirm nor deny that story. Okay.
Maybe it was just someone that looked like Mallory.
How about Hillary telling us like her 7-year-old had like a 40-inch waist?
She did something.
She turned the tape measure
the other way. She goes, Oh, yeah.
It's 20 inches instead of 40. You know, yeah, exactly. She had the 60-inch tape measure turned around. Anyway. So it was, they were too short. And I was like, I'm so upset. And this day was just so unproductive. And you know what really bugged me is I was going to have to redraft.
So we had to listen to her vent, too.
I know you all love this, right? No, I had to redraft the pattern. It made me procrastinate on it a little bit because I had to redraft the damn pattern. I was so angry. It's like, it's not just that I have to recut out a thing. I did my pattern wrong. I have to redo the pattern. Anyway.
Well, and the thing about that is you really should start from ground zero because you don't know where you really made your goof.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. No,
unless
you can
really, really, really pin it down, you better just start from ground zero.
Okay, so hot tip, Mom, you want to give your footnote? This is
so
great.
So my hot tip is when you redraft a pattern. Now, when I draft a pattern like the leggings pattern, which I consider a sloper pattern, a basic, so every pair of leggings I have will be made eventually from this specific sloper pattern, right?
Uh-huh.
So there is also a loose rule of you should probably redraft every 2 years or at least check every 2 years, is this pattern still fitting me properly, right? So at my 2-year, I checked to see, and I did need some alterations on mine. So measurements had actually changed. Things had flowed into different, areas or whatever.
Sure.
And I redraft right on top of my old draft. So if you think
you're gonna make them 5 inches too short.
That's right. You probably won't come up, but because it'll go, no, I did not get 5 inches. More than likely, a lot of your measurements will be the same.
Yeah.
Okay. And you probably your crotch curve might be the same or something that you want to keep that you had to like work for the first time. So if I drafted them, say, in black ink or pencil or something, the next one I do in red.
Well, you can lay like tracing paper over it.
Whatever. Okay, so that is my original draft is what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So that gets rolled. Then after I do that, then I copy it onto tissue paper. I trace it onto tissue paper. And that particular pattern or original draft, that gets rolled up and put away.
Uh-huh.
It's there for infinity.
Okay.
Because I may have to go back to it. The tissue paper, sometimes you start cutting off of tissue paper or it gets ripped or it gets misplaced. This one is in the archives.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. So anyway, I would have noticed. I mean, sometimes your length, like your leg length measurement, we measure sort of like the outside of the leg in the made to measure leggings class. And that could change because like if your hips get bigger or smaller, that could change that a little bit.
If they change 5 inches in less than a year, see your doctor.
Well, or, you know, I mean, you could have gone
That's
through.
That's a big change.
It is a really big change. And I would have known that change didn't happen
That's
to
a
me.
That's a huge change, yeah.
So that, anyway, I would have, alarm bells would have gone off. So I go back to Joann's. They have the whole bolt of fabric. I think that people are really afraid of it. Because
nobody buys it.
Nobody.
And when you're buying it, everybody's
like, "What are
you
doing?
How do you know how to sew that?" Even the person that's selling it to you, or whatever.
Yeah, no.
Well, do you sew with this really? Have you ever made anything before? Blah blah.
Yeah.
I go, we have a podcast.
You should listen to it. No, but people are always curious as to why you're buying it. So
people are always amazed.
It's not cheap either.
No,
it's like $24
yard fabric.
But
if you have a 40% off coupon,
and I got a coupon and everything, so I had to buy new stuff. Okay, so let's move on. But I did finally get to make my tights. The shorts part, the upper part that wasn't the legs, the part that goes around like the trunk of my body, is a black knit. It's, I think it's like a cotton
so it's
blend.
Right. So it's like, you know, a bike pant.
Yeah.
I would call it.
So when,
you know,
like if I'm wearing the tights, and I showed people this all night long because of who I am. Yeah, it looks like I'm wearing little bike shorts and then I've got sparkly.
Well,
tights,
and another thing is if you have a thigh rub,
uh-huh,
hopefully you're rubbing the non-sequin fabric most of the time.
Well, yeah, hopefully you are. So I did, I put the foot on these, okay? Mm-hmm. And I made the foot, I just used our beige power shaper net.
Uh-huh.
If I'd had more time, if I hadn't screwed it up in the first place.
And this is the bottom of the foot.
This is the bottom of the foot.
The sole.
Yeah. So you can see on our Instagram, I've got boomerangs of like my feet moving around. So the top of my foot's all sparkly, but the bottom, you don't put sequins on the bottom of your foot.
Just like you don't want to really sit on them either.
Right. Yeah. So I have that power shaper net. Now, it's a beige color, which is sort of close to my skin tone. If I'd really had more time, I would have taken white and, like, dyed it blue. And I wouldn't have cared if it was exactly the blue of the sequins,
right,
the, you know, because it's not going to match exactly. But I thought, oh, that could be kind of nice. However, if I wear a shoe that comes up around my foot,
right,
you don't see the bottom of it at all.
You don't really see the bottom of it. You're just standing on
it. I was wearing, but the shoe I was wearing was open. I don't know, like it was a pump.
Yeah.
You know, that covered the toe and the middle of my foot was kind of open. And I did kind of make sure that the sequins were rotated around and everything. But it was actually some of my favorite pictures of the tights are of the bottom of my foot, showing how that all goes together and everything. So that was really exciting. I will say, though, and I think maybe I mentioned this in our glitter tolerance podcast, those sewn on sequins, while they are lovely, they did catch on my thighs.
On the inside, yeah.
When I walk.
Well, and they'll even catch like at your knee or something.
Yes,
Right. I mean, I was catching my gauntlets on my boobs.
I got stuck a couple times.
Right.
Now, when I first started wearing them, I got stuck more. And then sequins kind of like ripped off.
Right.
You know, I could have put a mesh there.
Mm-hmm.
I could have put a really thin, stretchy mesh, kind of just like applied it to the inner thigh to keep that from happening. I didn't really have enough time, but I could have done that because I think I finished the outfit like a few hours before I was going to wear it the first time.
Yeah, a couple hours.
Yeah. And so anyway, though, I definitely marked those tights up as a success. For sure. I love, they were so comfortable.
Well, and talking about the back seam,
yeah,
because there's so many sequins, you couldn't tell there was a back seam.
You know,
people were like, where's the seam? Where's your seam? Yeah. And people that sewed, and a lot of them didn't even sew a lot, but they were just impressed. They're like, how did you make those?
No, it was.
Well, people were saying that about my tights.
Yes.
You made your own tights?
We're talking about my tights. No, I'm just kidding. You could barely see the back seam. And I just wanted to say, someone complained about that in the group. They were trying to make a pair of tights where you could
see
the seam to be seen really well. Mm-hmm. And they were having trouble. And I was like, I don't know. You're going to have to do like a rolled edge with a really dark thread or something.
Sometimes you have to, sometimes you have to actually like do an applique.
Yeah. Or
couch something down to make the seam obvious.
I was thinking about that. It's like you could serge in like a strip of dark fabric and kind of top stitch.
Sometimes
it.
You can just couch on like, you know, some sort of cording, but you want to make sure it stretches.
Well, yeah. I even would maybe use a little strip of power shaper net like we do in a seam sometimes, you know. So you could just serge that in and turn it and top stitch it with a zigzag or, you know, cover stitch. I don't know, whatever. You know, whatever you got. So anyway.
There's always a matching marker.
You can just draw it up the back.
I've done that before.
There you go. I was so surprised that you couldn't see the seam though.
That's a very forgiving sequin
fabric. The fabric was cool. It was really cool.
I didn't trim anything out of the seams until later when I thought maybe I would want it out or something. It went through the serger grate. They were tiny little donut shaped sequins. They were perfect.
The back of my leg was comfortable too.
The
seam that was sequin on sequin was A-okay.
No, it was very comfortable.
Yeah, so I do love that.
And I had those on my gauntlets. You know, I had.
Yes.
And I did nothing to them and they were fine and they were tight on my arm.
Okay, so let's take a break. I think the tights probably could have been their own podcast, but we're going to take a break and come back and talk about the dress that I made.
It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com. It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.
Okay, this ad spot is a chance for me to brag a bit. I am really proud of my I Am a Sewing Machine shirt design. The design incorporates elements of a sewing machine like a spool, a threaded needle, and a knob, all within the text that tells the world that you are a sewing machine.
Made from a super soft cotton and printed here in Columbia, Missouri, our I Am a Sewing Machine t-shirt is available sizes small to 4XL. And we've included garment measurements in the product description so you can get the perfect fit.
It's the perfect gift for yourself or any other sewing machines in your life. The proceeds go to supporting this podcast, and you can get 10% off when you go to sewhere.com/IAMASewingMachine and use the code MACHINE, all caps.
Tell the world that you are a sewing machine.
Sewing out loud. And we're back. All right. Crushed velour. It's all the rage.
I think it's crushed velvet.
I think it's called velour. I don't think it's... I think it's a stretch velour.
If you were alive in the 70s and you knew what the velour was like then, you wouldn't call it velour. But go ahead.
Okay, well, whatever. I've heard people be like, don't call that velvet because it's not velvet. Yeah. I've heard people get angry about that.
Velour is a bad word.
No, okay. Well, anyway, this... So I couldn't just wear the tights.
Let's call it new millennial velour.
Okay. I think you have a millennial pink over there. Apparently millennial pink
is
a color.
It's beautiful. Okay. I'm getting a leotard out of that and maybe a shirt.
Stretch velvet, whatever. I needed to wear a dress. I couldn't just wear the tights to any event. I can't just wear tights, unfortunately. I had to cover the top of me, too. We actually have a real velvet that's not stretch, and I kind of had a fantasy about making like a shirt dress out of it.
I thought it was one-way stretch.
Do you think it's
the purple?
Kinda, yeah.
It's one-way stretch.
Is it stretch a little bit? Okay. Yeah. Anyway, it's got a bit of give to it, but it's not like a knit. I don't know. Like, it's a stretch woven. You think it's... Mom's just looking at me like I'm crazy. Anyway, no matter what it was, I had fantasies of making a shirt dress, but I did not really, like... Things were getting down to the wire, especially since the tights got delayed because I was dumb and drafted my pattern wrong. And so I needed to come up with another, like, you know, plan of action. Okay, it stretches one way. Does it stretch on the warp?
I don't think so.
Okay, it's a one-way stretch.
No, it's a one-way stretch, but it's a stretch.
Okay. Thanks so much for going and getting that while we're podcasting. I appreciate it.
Well, I thought it was crazy because I was for sure it was a stretch.
Okay. Anyway.
Very sure. Check my crazy scale.
Thanks for checking. Okay.
It wasn't to prove you right or wrong. It was to decide where I was mentally. Go ahead.
But this stuff is a little older and it's not like we can get more of it. It's a really cool purple color.
I think probably some funeral home has drapes made out of it.
Oh, thanks a lot. Okay. All right. Didn't have time to make a shirt dress. So I was like, should I make an easy tee dress? And you were very supportive of that. And then we have this other velvet, this other stretch velvet. That I bought for myself.
Of course.
Herself. Okay.
Okay.
And there was like a 1 yard piece of it. So I can get an easy tee dress because I'm so short out of 1 yard of fabric.
I can get anything out of 1 yard of fabric. It's amazing.
Because we're so short. Anyway. And it's 60 inches wide. So my easy tee dress didn't have very long sleeves, for sure. And this was stretchy. So it could have just a tad bit of negative ease in it if I wanted it to because it's stretchy. So I made an easy tea dress. And this is, going back to that Glitter Tolerance podcast, it's a stretch velvet that sort of has metallic, like, foiled upon it. Yeah. You know?
It's kind of a champagne color crushed velvet with this goldy bronzy sort of metallic
in it. I feel it like it's like rosy.
That's why
bronze.
I said champagne. Yeah. There's some pinky in there. Yeah. It's not gold.
Right. Yeah. Well, when I went
to It's not harsh gold.
So the first event I attended in it was with a bunch of artists, and they were like, "Oh, I can't even barely tell what color that is. That's just so interesting."
That's the whole idea.
Yeah, they loved it. Right. They were like, "This is."
And it's very neutral, actually.
Yeah, like this is an interesting, you know, color. Right. Okay, so I make the easy tea dress out of it. And
did we decide that it ombre'd with that, or was it throughout pretty...
I think it was evenly spaced.
Okay, that was a different fabric I was thinking about. Yes,
I think it was evenly spaced.
Yes, I have another fabric that's ombre'd with the gold. Okay.
So sewing this crushed velvet stuff, I don't know. It's no problem on the serger. I don't have a problem with it on the sewing machine. Like, there's a lot of people who are like, oh, it's hard to keep it from shifting. I really don't find that. I feel like once you put it together, it kind of like... sticks to itself. Mm-hmm. So once you get it positioned, you know, like I didn't pin my seams.
I like to cut it with wrong sides together.
Yeah.
Because it does. It sticks and then you can't reposition it. Right.
Yeah. Now I made it a little tighter than my woven easy tees. I incorporated a little bit of negative ease into it because I liked that, you know. And then I finished it with a cover stitch, okay? And I did it so that the loopers were showing on the outside, and I put two metallic threads through my cover stitch looper, okay? So two threads through one looper. It was like a bronzy metallic and a gold metallic. So I've got, you know, this color blending going on. And when I was testing, because we always test, right, I tried to put machine embroidery thread in the needles and do cover stitching with machine embroidery thread in the needles, metallic embroidery thread in the cover stitch looper through this crushed velvet, and it was not working for me.
So was the machine embroidery thread breaking?
No.
Oh.
It was like things were slipping. It wasn't wanting to catch.
Okay.
Was it
polyester embroidery
thread?
Yeah,
it was all Floriani.
Okay. All right.
So it was just not wanting to catch. And I thought, I wonder if I put normal serger thread in it, if it'll just go. And it did.
And
it just fixed the problem. I mean, I could have worked harder. I could have, you know, troubleshot some more or whatever. But it didn't change the look of it. It still gave me the look I liked. And I just felt like that maybe that poly embroidery thread was too slick.
Mm-hmm.
With everything that was going on. I don't know. Like I said, could have tried out some other things, but finished everything off with a cover stitch and it was fine. And I think I looked amazing. Got pictures. You can look at them. However, I want to address something about this crushed velvet. Okay. It was fine, except when I put on my coat and I went out and walked around, it crawled up on my coat. Inside of my coat. So let me make this clear. If I walk in just the stretch velvet dress with nothing on the outside of it, it doesn't ride up. But when I put my coat on, it's like it was like spider legs. It like crawled up the coat. And I was
so it had a grip to it.
Yeah, I was walking to my car and I was like, my butt is showing right now. Now, this may not have been as apparent if it was a longer dress. It was a really short dress.
Right.
It was like as short as I felt comfortable making it. And so then I wore like a sweater. So that was a slick coat. It was a puffy coat. So it's slick. I tried to wear a sweater. Nope. Still got the riding up. I put my backpack on over it to walk across a room and it rode up on the backpack. So heads up, if you make
it.
I think it was really maybe kind of particular to like the length of this garment. Like the fact that it was a dress. You know, I don't think a skirt maybe would ride up in the same way because it couldn't. Because I think the part of the dress that was up on my torso was coming into contact with the coat and kind of crawling up vertically. You know, so you could, you know, make yourself a stretch velvet skirt, make yourself a stretch velvet dress, et cetera, et cetera. But yeah, it was crawling up on me. I don't think I would have, I don't notice the same thing with a shirt because the shirt's not trying to cover my butt while I'm in tights. Yeah, it was a real challenge.
Yeah.
I PSA, everybody, that this was a problem.
Well, I do want to say something about using the easy tee for your pattern and for, you know, the design of this dress. And you just recently posted a hack we had on M2M leggings, and you were wearing an easy tee, and you got all these compliments. Oh, the shirt. I want to make the shirt. What's the shirt? And everybody's like, well, it's the easy tee. And then, of course, this dress was basically an easy tee extended.
Yep.
Right? So that you could wear it as a dress. And what I want people to take note of here is that the fabric spoke the language of the design.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It didn't need to be complicated. It didn't need to be a button-down shirt. It didn't need to have this or that or anything. You know, you put a little spice in your hemming using your metallic threads,
right,
with your cover stitch, that kind of thing. But the fabric spoke loud enough. It didn't need a whole lot of detail.
Right. Well, I want to say, too, that the photo you're talking about that I just posted, you know,
right,
is this linen cotton.
It's a beautiful fabric.
And then I make a stretch velvet one. Like,
right,
the easy tee, once you get it, like a good basis for it. And, you know, I need to do this, but it's really hard to write a blog post about how to make a knit easy tee because there's so many ways to do it. Because there are so many situations you can get into. Like when you say make something out of a knit, the word knit encompasses so many different things. You know, and we've talked about this. The way patterns are written, they're written for a certain fabric.
Right.
You know, and wovens don't stretch.
That's
okay,
right.
And we say in the easy tee class to make it out of a drapey fabric, you know, for good reason. But then when you go into knit land, so like what I do, I guess I'll just write a blog post real quick that says this. I cut out my knit easy tee like I would my woven.
Right. That's
then
what I would
try
do.
It on, and then I take it up if I want to. And some knits I don't take it up, and some knits I do. I'm wearing a Liverpool knit easy tee right now, and I don't think I took it up anymore. It's a more stable knit.
Right.
Okay, but some...
Well, it's also not as drapey.
That's right.
Right.
So if it's a knit that's like drapier, mm-hmm, or a knit that kind of really relaxes on your body or puts weight on itself,
right,
you know, sometimes I'll take those up a little more.
Right.
There was an easy tee we made. Oh, and sometimes on a knit, I'll cut the neckline a little higher because, you know,
yes,
the neckline will want to grow a
right
bit too. So there's that. Okay, well, there's my blog post, I guess, that I've been putting off for like 3
well,
years.
Well, and I think that people just really misunderstand knits.
A lot. I mean, they can, absolutely.
And don't think because you've dealt with one knit that you know knits. You know, they are very characteristic.
Or that someone can, you know, so there's a good thing to say.
Right.
Just because you've dealt with one doesn't mean you know how to deal with them all. But also, someone can't give you advice that encompasses all knits.
Like that's
that,
right.
That
that's
is
right
where I have struggled.
It's just like someone can't encompass. This all goes together.
Yeah,
this
right,
all starts,
right.
This snowballs into information.
Yes.
That you can't give enough information. So I cut this t-shirt out of a knit. It fit me. Then I cut it out of this knit, and it didn't fit me. Oh, my girlfriend cut the t-shirt out of the same knit, but it didn't fit her at all. That's right.
Yep.
You know, there's lots of variables in there.
Or people say, oh, well, if you're going to do that, size up. And I'm like, you don't know what size they chose in
yes,
the first place.
Yes,
hold on.
Yes,
pause.
Yes. When people say, oh, I had to make this pattern, but I had to size up, so size up. No, you don't know that.
Yeah, you just don't know.
And you don't know where that person lands
in the
fitting of that
range
garment. And it, even if they're the same measurement.
This is like when people in my financial groups will say, like, what should I do with this bonus? And everybody's like, well, what's your situation?
Yes.
Is this a bonus that's 5% of your income or 40% of your income? Or is it, or do you have student loan debt or do you have credit card debt? Are you, oh, you plan to travel? Like, you know, blah, blah, blah. Anyway.
You have student loan debt and you want to buy a racehorse? Not a good idea.
Well,
right,
you know, so here, you know, it's just funny because it's like a really similar thing.
Yeah.
You know, almost that I see. So we need all the information. You can't just, yeah, tell anyone to size up. And I wouldn't tell.
But what you say about cutting it,
uh-huh,
like it, you know, cutting the way it comes, not assuming it needs to be smaller. And even though you didn't cut it smaller for this knit, then you used another knit and you wound up taking it up a little bit.
And I did, because they drape differently.
It
and
just
that,
draped differently.
Okay, that's for any pattern. And
yes,
like you said, even if it's a pattern for a knit, I always try stuff on because yes. the different fabrics will make a difference.
You know, how many leotards have I made?
Yeah.
In the past year. Well, let's not talk about those ones okay. I found that were 20 years
old. Forget that.
Mallory's, I'm like, look, here's my old leotard pattern. Look, it's 2009. And Mallory goes, that's 20 years ago.
No, 1999.
Would be 20 years ago, right? It was 2000. I said it's 2000. That's
it's
what it was.
It's 2000. Yeah, that's 20 years ago. There
we
go.
That's 20 years ago, Mom. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I guess it is. But I put on that leotard every time before I finish the neckline and the legs.
Always.
Every time. It's a different fabric.
I try on my leggings.
I probably sewed it different. I don't know. I try everything on except maybe an apron.
Yeah.
I mean, I just try everything. I was making headbands for Christmas, and I'm trying them on.
Well,
I was like, I'm just in this habit.
And I always think about this. Like, I think about someone, like, what someone's feedback would be. And they're like, well, what if I'm sewing for someone else, like, for a present, and
right.
I can't try it on them? It's like, well, you can't try it on them. And you couldn't try the ready-made thing on in the store on them before
right.
you could
right.
do it either. So that's just the reality.
Right. So
okay.
you make them something that you don't have to worry about
well,
a perfect
or you
set,
just
or whatever.
Do your best.
You do your best and tell them you're all certain
and
you that
don't, you
will alter it.
Or, yeah, and you don't get super upset about like the 100% perfect fit because that does,
right.
that's not available and ready to wear. Okay.
Right.
You know,
right.
so
absolutely.
Anyway, now if you were like giving someone a custom fitted garment, that's a different story. But you know, that's why PJ pants are great. That's why.
right. Things like that, that, you know, as long as you can get into them, you're happy.
Well,
like,
it's so
it
funny.
Doesn't have to be the perfect
okay,
fit and you're wearing them in the house.
Maybe this will be the last tangent of the podcast, but you see ads where people are wearing a knit t-shirt and I'll see that like the sleeve cap doesn't start at the 100% perfect
right.
place. Or someone posts in the group, but they are smiling and they've got their t-shirt on and they're
That's
like,
right.
look at my freaking t-shirt. And everybody's like, great. But then someone will make themselves a t-shirt and they'll be like, oh my gosh, it's off a little bit. And I'm like, you know, it's more about how it feels.
It's about how you feel about it.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, you know, okay, you don't want to look maybe like ridiculous or something.
Right.
But, you know, if you like it and you like moving around in it, there aren't these other standards that you have to put on it. Now, I'm not saying that I don't judge in my brain when I look at something and say, oh, well, maybe the neckline's a little wide on that.
Well,
you know,
or you say, I wouldn't want that off my shoulders like
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
you know,
whatever.
Yeah.
You know, those thoughts go through my mind when I see, you know, garments sometimes. But, yeah, it's just, you know, kind of try and let that go a little bit. I guess I need to write my EZT blog post that I just dictated for this.
Yeah, you had to re-listen. You have
yeah.
to listen to this now.
Cut it out. Take it up if you want it. Bye. Cut the neckline a little
what,
higher.
What? Oh, was it Fred that?
Oh, do we have to? We haven't shouted out Fred in a
Fred?
Couple episodes.
Fred, I haven't.
Hi, Fred.
I haven't said anything about you
Hi,
in like
Fred.
Two or three episodes.
I know.
But she had said something about a blog post and how hysterical it was.
Yeah.
I had to go back and listen to it.
You mean a podcast?
A podcast. What did I say? A
you said blog post.
Yeah. Oh, did
like,
I?
Whatever.
I'm sorry. Yeah. But yeah, it was the one where she accused us of having partaken in alcohol or something before we started. She said, and I did not. I had to go listen to it. But everybody was quoting it on social media and had a good time. And I listened to it. And no, we're like that all the time.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
I know. You've already defended yourself
yeah,
against
we are.
These accusations.
We're just like that.
Okay.
No, I mean, I don't. I'm just saying we are like that.
Yes.
I'm not defending anything. I'm just saying we don't need to partake. We're just like that.
Okay. Well, everybody, this is the first podcast of 2020.
The new decade?
Yes, the new decade. It's the 20s, y'all.
Wow.
Okay. So we're happy to have you. We hope that you.
Oh my gosh.
Are you? Mom's having a real. She's like.
Well, you know.
The calendar. Ooh.
I'm like a mid-century relic, so it's really.
You're really old.
Yeah.
I mean.
Wow.
Yeah. No.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
This is my new decade too. You know, like I started a new decade just a couple months ago.
Yeah.
You know, so I entered my. My fourth
That's
decade.
Because you were born in a
in
year
a
that ended in
yeah.
a nine.
So
yes.
I start new decades the same time everyone else starts new decades, too. All right, everybody. We're excited to get into the new year with you. And, yeah, ZD, take it away.
So long and so happy.
Thanks for listening to Sewing Out Loud. For even more expert sewing advice, visit sewhere.com.
Hey, y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com. Hey, y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.